Doc Rivers continues to time and time again not get it when it comes to getting... Oh! Let him play!
Down 21 to nothing in the fourth quarter, they kicked a field goal. Fire everybody. Disband the program.
Oh yeah, another clank by Carmelo. Oh, that Porzingis!
I like that, Dave. I'm in foreclosure because I lost my arch.
From Los Angeles, this is Dave in the City, brought to you by Locks of the Week Radio. Now, here's Dave Medina.
Good evening, sports fans, and a pleasure to have you here for the big fall classic show, along with the football here in the city. From the Dave in the City studios in sunny Southern California. Good to have you with us tonight. We have a lot to cover here in the sports world. There's a lot going on. The World Series is underway as we speak. Jake Arrieta had 5 no-hit innings, and then right as Fox flashed the graphic on the scoreboard, he gave up a hit. So good job, Fox. But we look at that as well as the college football landscape, where there are a bunch of college football upsets. But the biggie we'll cover in just a moment. On the program tonight, we will be featuring 3 of our regular guest pickers. Ron in New Jersey once again cannot make it, but for good reason. He was celebrating with his father-in-law, and that's good news all around. It's always good to spend time with the family. I look forward to hearing from him next week, hopefully. And joining us tonight on the air, John in Connecticut and Andy in Seattle. Our guest picker tonight, I look forward to hearing from him as well. I'm assuming he is. I better make sure that he knows we're on the air. Because sometimes that does happen if a guy hasn't been on the show for a while. It's going to be someone you haven't heard from in a long time. Long time. So I'm very excited to bring him in on the show. So let's do it. I mean, there's a lot to get into here. And I think before we start, I'll just quickly give the recap of the MLB postseason. So the season's over for the Los Angeles Dodgers. That's clearly not the biggest story in baseball right now. Obviously, the story is on the other end of that matchup and the NLCS. The Chicago Cubs, who make the World Series for the first time since 1945. I mean, that was so long ago. It was before Jackie Robinson broke into baseball to break the color barrier. I mean, I don't even think, I barely think the long playing record wasn't even invented yet. Get that picture. So people were running off of shellac discs at 78 RPMs back then. That's crazy. The world was a very different place. So the way it is now, they're trying to get back to the very different place. But let's hope that doesn't happen. We certainly like progress here in the universe. But the Cubs are in it. So here they are playing the Indians. They lost game one, and they had a great job. They did a great job in the series closing it out. The Indians did the same thing, really making it a very quick series against the Toronto Blue Jays. Their pitching shut down the Blue Jays very, very swiftly. It was a 5-game series, and kudos to them. They won game one, did the Indians 6-0. In game two, Arrieta, as we mentioned, had the no-hit bid through 5 innings into the 6th inning. He gave up a hit, so much for that. It is 5-1 Chicago as we go into the 7th inning. It's top of the 7th, and the Cubs are batting. If the Cubs hang on, they'll go into game three. Tied 1-1, and Wrigley Field will have its first World Series game since 1945. So very exciting news there. So just a couple of updates as far as the program is concerned. Andy in Seattle is going to call in 3 minutes. But our guest picker is on the program with us tonight. So let us set it all on the table. You know, it's not Thanksgiving yet. We still got a few weeks to go. But think of it this way. We're coming up on Halloween, which is a Thanksgiving of candy. I look forward to that. And in that Thanksgiving, we are thankful to have all the football. We are thankful to have all the baseball. We're thankful to have a big NBA night last night with Cleveland Cavaliers raising the banner. And then later in the evening, the Western champions, the Golden State Warriors, whooped by the San Antonio Spurs. I know it's just game one of a long regular season. But that certainly sent shockwaves throughout the NBA media. So that's happening. Baseball's happening, we mentioned that. And in college football, a big upset. That's right. We'll tell you more about that in just a moment. But first, let's bring everybody else and gather around this table of thanks, and let's hit it! Ah! There you go. There you go. Oh my God. I'm too excited. This end of football picks week 9. It's just sports overload right now, so I can't handle all the excitement. Let's tell you what happened last week. So we thank Robert and Virginia for joining us last week on the program. Once again, reprising his guest role. He did a tremendous job. In the picks, he went 2-2. Not as well as the last time he was on, but still a very good week, considering that, you know, this was a tough week to pick games. But the winner of this week, far and away, was our colleague Andy in Seattle. 4-0, a perfect week. Perfect week. Just a great job out of Andy. Ron in New Jersey came in second place for week number 8 with a 3-1 record. And John was 1-2-1 to finish out that week. And I, as usual, was in last place for week 8, 1-3 for the week. And so the standings after 8 weeks, you have Andy in first place at 16-13-1. You have Ron in New Jersey at 14-16 in second place. In third place is John at 11-17-2. And I am in last place at 10-20. Need a winning week in the worst way, so we'll share some of that with you, try to get back on the winning path. We're halfway through the season, 8 weeks to go. Guest picks this year are 17-13, so certainly a lot to play for as we bring on new guest pickers and returning guest pickers throughout the second half of our contest. Very exciting. Let's scout now, bring in the people we do have on board right now, and we'll start with the regulars. And our first regular of the evening, it is John in Connecticut. Welcome back to the program, John. How's it going this evening?
Doing well, Dave. Thanks for having me back on. Wish I could be better with the picks this year. It's a lot of bad luck with some of these things. I know it's, you know, that's gambling, but my record easily could be around 500 instead of the disgraceful, 11-17-2 or something. So, like the Chiefs last week, that was just a complete joke, giving up that backdoor cover, and I will hold that against them for quite some time, but glad to be back. We'll hope to get some winners tonight.
Yeah, good deal. Same for me. Hopefully I can rebound this as well. I need a winning week in the worst way. I mean, just like, not unlike your situation. I mean, I have gone a long time without going 3-1, so rooting for the same thing. Okay, let's bring in our guest picker, and we have not heard from him in quite a while. He is Dave in Queens, a.k.a. O'Reilly. O'Reilly, welcome back to the program. How's it going tonight?
Hey, Dave, what's going on, man?
It has been too long. I am doing great, and we welcome your expertise. What's new with you?
Everything's good, man. Just living life, I guess. You know.
Okay.
Yeah, not much different, but yeah, everything's pretty good. How about you, man? I missed you.
Yeah, gosh, I'm looking for another job in my daytime work, and my car's on the fritz. Dodgers were in the postseason. That was exciting for a while, and then they quit. They ran out of gas, and but it's been pretty crazy. And you know, Vegas trip tomorrow. Going to be checking out a show. Hopefully, there'll be many shows. You know how that is. So that's my life. Good times. Say hello to Checker, my Dave. It's been too long. Fellas, go ahead. You feel free to reacquaint yourselves.
Hey, what's going on, man? It's been a long time.
Yeah, definitely. Good to hear from you.
You too. Hopefully, my gambling's been a disaster. Hopefully, being on Dave's show will turn things around a little bit.
So. Well, as long as you're going opposite of what he's taking, I think you're in good shape.
Yeah,
so.
That's exactly right. That is exactly right. Gosh, and to give you an example, Dave, I picked Ohio State minus 19.5 in that game against Penn State. They lost the game. I mean, oof. That says it all. That's so bad.
Oh, yeah, and no, I've been terrible too. I mean, the NFL's been so inconsistent with these teams, and it's been all over the place. I rode the Panthers for a few weeks, the Cardinals the first few weeks of the season, and just got hammered. So,
yeah,
you know, what do I know?
Yeah, I know. We all have been humbled by the NFL at various points of the year, no question. So, let's do the recap then of college football. Andy will join us in any moment now. So, as we get rolling, we'll have him back on and we'll have him recap as well. And this will be a pretty compact show. Let's begin with John in Connecticut, and I mentioned it. Ohio State loses. It's not a crippling for them, but it certainly sets them back as far as the Big Ten standing. So let's hear from you from what happened last week in college, including that game.
Yeah, I mean, I think we kind of talked about it on the program last week. At least I said anyway that I thought Ohio State could probably cover the three touchdowns. I certainly didn't expect them to win the game outright. I mean, you know, Ohio State's offense, after a really hot start to the season, has kind of been in a funk, and it took the wrong game to combine that with some just horrible special teams play. You know, the Penn State blocks the field goal that leads to the go-ahead touchdown. Even earlier in the game, they blocked another field goal or a punt. So just horrible special teams play. And like you said, Dave, this loss really doesn't set them back too much, as they dropped to, what, number six in the polls. So as long as they win out and they beat Michigan, they'll be in the Big Ten title game, and they can take care of business there, and they'll be right in the playoffs. So honestly, I mean, Urban Meyer will probably use this as just unbelievable motivation for that team to kind of get things on the right track and, you know, get the team back to where they were playing early in the year when they, you know, dominated Oklahoma and, you know, we're just off to a great start. So not a crippling loss at all for Ohio State, just, you know, a little setback, like you said, but they're definitely in the mix long term here. The other huge upset of the week, out of nowhere, SMU just crushes Houston. And, you know, I kind of called it before the season. I said they weren't going to go undefeated, but I definitely think they thought they were going to lose to better teams in the conference than Houston. I mean, they just did not show up. And you got to wonder, you know, were they looking ahead to, you know, once they got one loss, maybe the motivation wasn't all there. And plus, the whole scenario with Tom Herman, you know, potentially there's all these rumors, well, he's going to leave for Texas and this and that. And maybe that was on the players' minds, but their chances at the playoffs are clearly gone. They're not even going to make the group of six bowl bid, because they're probably not going to win the American at this point. You know, Navy, South Florida are kind of, I guess, in the driver's seats to make the championship game at this point. So they're going to be, they're going to be out of luck with that. We hope Western Michigan gets in the mix. They're kind of our team here on the show. I was completely dead wrong about the Arkansas-Auburn game. I see why Arkansas was getting 10 now, as Auburn won 56-3, which is unbelievable. So maybe Auburn will be a challenger to Alabama at the end of the year. And speaking of Bama, as Andy likes to say, you know, you plant a seed with these big spreads with Alabama. And, you know, it was kind of dicey there for a while, but by the fourth quarter, they just made enough plays, scored a touchdown with their defense, and they pulled away. So pretty interesting week in college football. And, you know, I don't know if you saw Thursday night, BYU tries to run a fake punt from 4th-and-20 in their own end zone. That was pretty hilarious. So I don't know what they were doing there, but so an interesting weekend. Certainly a lot more coming up this weekend in terms of upsets and whatnot. We'll probably get to that after, but a pretty good weekend of action.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, I didn't get to see a lot of the action, but I mean, I caught some of the big moments, and it was certainly a lot to talk about. So Andy in Seattle joins us on the program, and Andy, welcome back. How's it going tonight? Congrats on the 4-0. Nicely done.
Oh, good. Hey, everyone. Nice to be here. Had a little laundry scenario with the coins. I'm worried about Fiddle, bro. These World Series games, what happens if it goes seven games, but seven lopsided blowouts? I mean, that's just like tearing up the heartstrings of Fiddle, but I don't know. I'm hoping the Indians can make a little bit of a magic run here, but it's not looking so well. But I don't know. I really have no dog in the fight. I do want to see like a 6-7 game series, but hopefully see some close games with some juice in these innings 7-9.
Yeah, we're not off to a good start from that standpoint. It's a good point, Andy, but I think things could change in Game 3, because I think everyone's had their shot. You know, Cleveland had their shot. Cubs are currently having their shot. We'll see if the comeback's imminent, and more to cover on that. So let's get your recap of the college football action as well. I mean, there's certainly a lot to talk about. Ohio State getting upset, and then John mentioned the Arkansas game that went south. That really went south for them. So your thoughts on last week's college football?
Okay, well, at risk of sounding redundant, because I didn't hear what Ron and John said, but fuck both Ohio State and Penn State. I was at a sports bar. There's a decent amount of TVs on that game. And at the end of the first half, I mean, Penn State was doing nothing. And I made a tweet, because I just needed to express some outrage and needed people to see my thoughts. And I was like, you're embarrassing the national audience, Penn State. And then 20 minutes later, after halftime, I get to my buddy's house, and lo and behold, Penn State's right in it because of all these special teams mishaps. It's just a crummy game. You know, Ohio State can still pave their way to the top because they still control their destiny. But you know, I'm not a Penn State guy, so kudos to them with all, and I mean that with all insincerity. Louisville, I know they're in the beginning of the year, they had all sorts of aspirations, and then they kind of mildly cooked their goose. But I kind of had a feeling that they would pummel North Carolina State because I feel North Carolina State just used up all their energy and then were completely heartbroken when the dude missed the field goal at Clemson. So I figured their tank was empty. So that was a behind-the-scenes non-pick pick that I took. Louisville, that was cool. West Virginia keeps chugging along. That's got to end. The Oklahoma-Texas Tech played like a four-and-a-half-hour game, zero defense. That's like a basketball score. Texas Tech's quarterback threw for like 730 yards. Where was that the week before? I don't know. Could have used like a third of those yards the week before. Utah-UCLA played a crazy game. Utah won despite having a horrendous defensive effort. It was like the antithesis of what a Utah defense usually does. They still won the game. I feel like UCLA might be one of the biggest disappointments in the Pac-12. They had big dreams with Rosen coming back. And even though Rosen didn't even play, it's not like he was the his absence wasn't the reason why they lost. His substitutes, whatever his name is, Falafel, he ended up throwing for like 5 touchdowns and 400 yards. I mean, he was basically Rosen 2.0. It was just a bad effort all around by both defenses, but Utah came on top to set up a big game against UW this weekend. Cal and Oregon played a crazy game. That was another five-hour contest. Our boys, P.J. Fleck, didn't cover, but the beat still goes on for them. I think they're like they might be up to like 15 or 18 in the top 25 now. And then, I mean, LOL Michigan State. I mean, Michigan State and UCLA – Miami and Notre Dame could all be in like the second stage of hell above the Rutgers, Illinois, pod.
Yeah. No, absolutely. These teams had big expectations. I mean, not so much Miami, but the other ones did. And you know, it's not a surprise now when you see Michigan, Michigan State, which last year was like the game. It was like a big game, and it was like an 8-point spread. And this year, it's like a 30-point spread because Michigan State went south so much, especially defensively. So it's a rough spot. Just to update everybody, Ron in New Jersey cannot make the program tonight. He will send his picks via text. His meeting with his father-in-law went a little late, so we'll get the picks via the text in a little bit. Meanwhile, let's introduce once again Dave in Queens, aka O'Reilly, and O'Reilly. Let's get your recap of last week's action in college football.
Yeah, I mean, you know, Andy pretty much covered it all, but I think at this point, it's easy to say, but it's pretty much Alabama and everybody else. I mean, they're loaded. Just the defense, Nick Saban actually has a quarterback. I mean, they're scary. But I think I really like Washington. I didn't know much about them, but the last 3 or 4 weeks I've been watching them, and I think they're legit. They got a great defense. They got this wide receiver. I think his name is Ross, really fast dude. And the quarterback, Browning, I think is legit. I think if he wasn't on the West Coast, he'd be a Heisman candidate. So I do think Washington's really good. And I think Michigan's really good. I know people are – I'm not in love with the quarterback, but Harbaugh seems to be the QB whisperer. He makes, you know, average and mediocre quarterbacks look good. So they got a nasty defense. So, I mean, I guess at this point, it's pretty much, you know, you got to think Alabama, the Big Ten, the winner of the Michigan-Ohio State game, Washington, and then I guess depends on, you know, you got Clemson, Louisville. I guess that scenario will, you know, shake itself out. But, yeah, I think after that, there's kind of a drop-off. I don't, I guess Nebraska is undefeated and a few other teams, Baylor, West Virginia, but I don't really buy any of these teams. And I know Ohio State struggled last week, but I still think they're legit. They're not as good as, say, Alabama. But I think in the end, they'll that game will come down to them, and the Michigan game will come down to which one of them makes the playoffs. So, you know, I think it's really been a pretty clear picture in college football right now. You got, you know, four or five teams that are really good and one or two other teams with a chance. And then after that, you know, I think it's a pretty big drop-off. We'll see. But like I said, I don't believe in the Nebraskas, West Virginias, Baylors, all those teams. So.
Yeah, and I'm kind of wondering where Wisconsin is in the middle of that, too. I mean, Nebraska isn't. I mean, that's probably the one. I think Checker would agree with us here that that's just the one that we're not buying into at all. I mean, no. I mean, I know that Nebraska may even win the division, but as far as actual championship aspirations, probably not. I mean, they're just not a well-coached team. And on we go. So, Dave, say hello to Andy since Andy joined us a little late. I figured I'd give you guys a chance to reacquaint.
Hey, Andy, how's everything on the West Coast these days?
Not too bad. Nice to hear from you. We miss you in certain parts of the online community.
You too. No, yeah, I'll make a return. I miss certain people.
Like you, a lot of shenanigans. A lot that. Of, you know, same old shenanigans. A little different, but, you know.
I hear it.
It's like having a cup of coffee every day. You gotta just plod through it.
Mm. Exactly.
Dave, I would say this: if you do come back, wait until November 9th.
Yeah. No, I know, and I try to avoid any social media or anything these days. It's just a bunch, you know, everyone has an opinion, and if you don't agree with it, then you're, you know, scum. So yeah, I try to stay away from political discussion. It's just it's a very slippery slope. I mean, it there's no good that could come out of it, you know. So I don't comment.
Yeah,
stuff like that. So,
gotcha.
You know.
All right, fellas. In that case, let's go ahead and move into this week's action in college football. Let me try the sound bite again. My thing isn't working tonight. You know that my audio thing is, my audio board is off. So forgive me for that. Anyway, let's get to the college football action itself. And the games on the table, actually a lot of them, and what they are big showdowns for individual conferences. For example, in the Sun Belt, you've got App State against Georgia Southern. That's a pretty good matchup. Appalachian State should roll to a win, but I do think that Georgia Southern could challenge in that one. In the AAC, Navy versus South Florida, I think John teased this last week. It should be a good affair. West Virginia, Oklahoma State in the Big 12. And I don't know, the defense isn't really that great for these teams. So I'm not really buying into either of them, but it's really more of Western Virginia's situation right now. I think they're still undefeated. I was a little bit out of the loop last week, so I can't remember. But let's assume they were. There's a chance for Oklahoma State to have a big upset. In the Big Ten, we mentioned Michigan State. It's not really that big a matchup anymore. We mentioned why. Also in the Big Ten, Nebraska, Wisconsin. And then we talked about it already, Washington against Utah. You talk about offense versus defense. It's going to be an interesting matchup. Clemson versus Florida State would have been a big matchup, but both teams had their foibles earlier in the year. So that's those are the featured games. Let's now get a look at the entirety of the college football schedule. And we begin with, once again, Andy in Seattle. Andy, let's get your look at this week's college football games.
I think Clemson's still in the mix, though, Dave.
Oh, yeah? Okay.
Yeah, they're number three in the country, Dave.
So they only lost one game. Okay, well, then they're
if they didn't lose at all, they won that Louisville game.
Oh, God, Lee. I think what I'm referring to then is Florida State, because I thought like it was going to be like between those two teams to decide the ACC. But definitely Clemson's still alive, just that they've been playing shaky, but they're still getting the W, so there's still a lot to play for. Hence, this is still a very big game. You guys are right. You can see I've been out of the loop. Okay, good stuff, everybody. Let's continue then. So Clemson's got a lot to play for. Very good. If they stay undefeated and run the table, they should be good for the national championship coming up. So that's good stuff. That's good to know, because I was big on them to start the year anyway, so good stuff. Okay, Andy in Seattle, let's get your take on this week's action.
Yeah, Clemson, I think how they won the game against NC State and what they've done in the regular season is, yeah, I guess that's why some people interpret it like a loss. But no, that's a big game. I mean, and now Florida State, they don't have any aspirations for a national championship. So if you want to like overanalyze or even kind of think somewhat radical, you might say advantage Florida State because they're loosey-goosey. Clemson has shown propensity to be tight as a drum. So if I were to play that game, I would maybe even take Florida State, but I'm not. But well, not on the program, but I might, like, on Saturday when I'm gambling. But that's basically it for that game. I'm intrigued in the Washington-Utah game. As Dave mentioned, they are rolling up here in Seattle, and I was always, like, a little leery about them. I'm not a huge Peterson guy, and as we talked about earlier in the year, in September, it's like the media pegged Washington to be this somewhat of a dark horse, and I said this, like, in both college basketball and college football, sometimes you just have, like, these media guys just automatically select, you know, team A to be this contender or surprise some folks, and then so they automatically just get, like, injected into the top 20. And sometimes they bunk, sometimes they blossom. But so far, Washington has blossomed. I admit, I was hesitant. I kind of thought they were a house of cards, and they crushed Stanford, and then they beat Oregon for the first time in, like, 12 years at Oregon. Granted, Oregon's a down team, but, I mean, they still had, like, the ghost to beat Oregon, and then they beat Oregon. Then they went ahead and I forget who they played the next game, but they've just been on a roll. Oh, yeah, they beat Oregon State last week when they were, like, they didn't cover, but they were, like, a 37-point favorite. But as they said, they've got that guy, Jake Browning. He's a true sophomore. He started last year as a true frosh, and he's just kind of taken medium strides. And he's got a great running back, Miles Gaskin. So they got a two-headed monster. And this is a test. Like, I'm still, like, how are they 10-point favorites on the road against a pretty solid Utah team? If Utah's defense didn't look like absolute dog shit last week, I would definitely play Utah. But now I'm a little hesitant. Here's a little wrinkle. The Utah quarterback actually went to UW, and he was like a Sarkisian recruit. And then when Peterson came, you didn't think Peterson and him just, like, didn't hit it off. He only started one game, so he transferred. So maybe he's got a little revenge factor brewing inside his system. I don't know. That's going to be a good game, though. I'm not going to touch it on the program, but that's definitely one of the big games. I mean, game day's there, so that's all you need to know. San Diego State at Utah State is a churn game on the surface, but I'm in love with that Pumphrey guy, the running back for San Diego State. If the coach lets his quarterback throw a little more, they'd be a little more versatile. But I think John called that in the beginning of the year, like, watch out for San Diego State this year, because they had a great year last year too. And then, yeah, I'm interested to see what West Virginia and Oklahoma State do, as well as Baylor and Texas. I know we've killed the Big 12 all podcast season long, but someone's got to win this division, and the way Baylor's schedule's been, it feels like they haven't played in 3 weeks, even though they had a bye last week. They've literally played nobody except Oklahoma State. Their schedule's been, like, completely backloaded, so this is, like, the first of, like, a few big games for them.
Good stuff, and thanks for the rundown, Andy. Let's now go to John in Connecticut for his look at this week's college football action.
Yeah, so there's going to be a lot of chaos this weekend. I said it before, all the undefeated teams that are left, I believe there's 9 of them, they all play their next game on the road. And as you saw with Ohio State, it's hard to win on the road in college football. You know, you kind of ran them down, Dave, earlier, but you have Clemson playing at Florida State, Michigan playing at Michigan State, West Virginia playing at Oklahoma State. You have who else here? The next Washington, obviously, playing at Utah. Alabama's next game is at LSU when they come back from a bye. Western Michigan, they're off this week, but they play on a Tuesday night, and the action will start. And, you know, that's always tricky. And, you know, many degenerate gamblers have said those games are rigged, so who knows what's going to happen in those. And then you have Boise State playing at Wyoming, so and Nebraska playing at Wisconsin. So all these teams on the road, I would wager that at least 3 or 4 of these teams are going to lose this weekend, and it's going to be a huge shakeup. Should be a great weekend of action. It's just so hard to go through a whole season undefeated in college football. The trick will be to picking out which one of these teams are going to lose. So, you know, obviously not all of them are going to lose, but I would say at least three or four of these teams, undefeated teams, are going to lose this weekend. And it should be just a tremendous Saturday of college football, really. I, too, am looking forward to that Washington-Utah game. I agree 100% with what Andy said. Utah is usually known for, like, this, you know, tough defensive team. And, you know, they made UCLA and their backup quarterback look like, you know, Texas Tech out there. It was unbelievable how bad they looked on defense. But their running back actually was, like, it's a crazy story. He, like, retired at the beginning of the season, and then they had so many injuries, the coach somehow got him to come back on the team, and he ran for, like, 300 yards the other day, which is just wild. So that'll be a great game. You know, got game day in the mix. And then if you want to watch a sad game, turn on Miami and Notre Dame on NBC. That should be quite the barn burner there. And then, like you said, on Friday night, South Florida Navy, that'll be a good one too. So really, this is going to be a separation Saturday, I guess you could call it. See which one of these undefeated teams can hang in there and handle the pressure of winning a road game.
You know, you counted nine of them are undefeated. You're right. I can't imagine all nine. I mean, it would be impossible to see all nine of them win. I don't think that's going to happen. Maybe like six of them could, or seven, maybe seven, but certainly not nine. That'd be tough to imagine. So let's now go to Dave in Queens, a.k.a. O'Reilly. So, Mr. O'Reilly, O'Reilly 4.0, if for the next time you go to the board. let's get your look at this week's college action. Anything you'd like to add?
Yeah, just like they were saying, the Washington-Utah game I have my eye on, and Utah is a solid program, but as they were saying, I mean, I was watching that game last week, and they gave up so many yards to a backup quarterback. That kind of, you know, that was kind of weird. I mean, it wasn't even Josh Rosen. I didn't know who the guy was. And I don't know how many yards he had, but they had a ton of points and yardage. And so, I want to see how Washington handles it. It's going to be a tough game, but I think the lack of defense, I think Washington's just going to, I think they're going to drop 50 on them from what I saw last week, unless they somehow get, well, maybe they had players injured or make adjustments. But from what I saw, Washington should feast on them. Clemson, Florida State is interesting. Clemson kind of reminds me of Florida State from a few years ago after they won a title. They were kind of sleepwalking through the season. They didn't look good, but they, you know, kept finding a way to win. Winston would, you know, pull games out. So, you know, they keep doing this. But when you play with fire enough, you know, eventually, you know, one of these weeks you could get beat. So I'm kind of worried about that. But they're just kind of, I know they're winning these games and that's all that counts. But if you keep playing close to the vest in all these games, eventually you're going to lose. So keep an eye on that. And, Michigan State, I think Michigan's going to handle them. You know, you got the revenge factor from last year. Michigan State is, you know, garbage this year. So, you know, I really think, you know, Harbaugh is going to want to kind of dig into these guys. So, yeah, it should be an interesting week. And like you guys said, I mean, you got a lot of undefeated teams on the road. And when you're dealing with young kids, you know, 18, 19 years old, any game on the road, even if it's not a great team, is dangerous. So I'd look for, you know, a few upsets this week and, you know, a few teams that are ranked, highly ranked, could maybe lose on the road.
I was thinking that too. I just think they're, you know, John said chaos. I think that's a good term for it. I'm anticipating some possible shifts in the standings and elsewhere in college football landscape. So let's then go to the picks, and we begin with our leader, Andy, in Seattle. My Firefox is now crashing on me, so I'm gonna have to take your word for it on the point spreads, Andy. So let's go ahead and get the show on the road whenever you're ready.
All right, thanks, Dave. I'll be relatively quick here. I thought it was a tough week to find games with conviction. That goes for the NFL, too, which we'll go to eventually. But game number one, I think this game's on Friday or tomorrow, either tomorrow or Friday. I'm going to take San Diego State giving 5.5 at Utah State. Why? Like I said, I love their running back. And Rocky Long's got a nice defense. The running back, he's got to be a good NFL prospect when all is said and done. Last week, they destroyed San Jose State 42-3. The week before, they were giving 18 to a crappy team. I forget who it was. Damn it. Fresno State, I think. Yeah, Fresno State. And we took San Diego State, and they I mean, their running back was literally getting like 7 yards a carry, but they played it like super close to the vest, and they only won by 17, unfortunately. I think this week they'll be able to score a bunch of points methodically, and hopefully they'll force a couple of turnovers where Utah State is deep in their own territory to set up some short fields for Coach Long and Pumphrey. And just, you know, this is a degenerate special, Mountain West. It might be cold in Utah State. You know, it's getting that time of year. And give me San Diego State winning a game, something like, you know, 28-13 in the Mountain West. Game number one, San Diego State. Game number two, a Mountaineer and a Cowboy walk into a bar. Holgerson and Gundy. Two pretty hot-headed, Mongo-minded head coaches. I wouldn't trust them throwing darts in a dart game, but here they are coaching. And you hear as Holgerson is, he's got an undefeated team. He's turned his quarterback, Skyler Howard, into a formidable guy behind center. You know, 2 weeks in a row, we bet against West Virginia, so why not make it a third? I'm basically betting on the Cowboys because I'm not a believer in West Virginia. For whatever reason, Holgerson's got this defense playing pretty darn well. I mean, they made TCU look pretty crappy the week before. They made a supposed mastermind on offense, Cliff Kingsbury, look like an absolute fool. Like I said earlier, that Texas Tech quarterback for 700 yards last week against Bob Stoops, and the week before, he looked like frickin' Brock Osweiler. I know he was hurt, but still, look a little better. So, like I said, I'm taking Oklahoma State based on just my anti-feelings against West Virginia. West Virginia's due to lose, and you're getting 3.5, and maybe Dundee's got something up his sleeve this weekend in Stillwater. So game number two will be Oklahoma State getting 3.5 from the surprising undefeated West Virginia Mountaineers. And game number one was San Diego State giving 5.5 at Utah State in a Mountain West Shern game.
All right. Thanks for the picks, Andy, and good luck to those. Let's now go to, let's see, it would be Ron in New Jersey, but he hadn't sent his picks yet. So let's go to John in Connecticut then for his picks for week number 9 in college football.
All right, Dave. I admit I was going to go with that Oklahoma State pick, but I don't want to mush Andy, but we'll certainly partake in that. I agree with him. Like, I cannot live in this world where West Virginia is just this well-coached, you know, solid defensive team that goes on the road and wins conference games as a favorite. I can't live in this world. So we'll go with that play as well in the hypothetical scenarios. But for the program picks, we will not select it. Game one, we'll go Friday night to my beloved American Conference. I mentioned the matchup before. And we'll go South Florida, giving the 6 points. I believe it's six. Yeah, six to Navy. You know, South Florida was kind of the darlings of the media predictions preseason in the AAC, and they had a surprising loss in Temple last week. Their defense was just gashed by the Temple run game, which you would figure, oh my God, they're playing the Navy triple option. This is going to be quite the horror show for them. Well, no. I see a big rebound game here for South Florida. Navy has had a tremendous season to date. There's no doubt about that. The huge upset of Houston. They beat a very solid Memphis team last week. However, those games are on the road. I mean, their option certainly can travel everywhere, but I just think when you look at the two rosters, just South Florida is just a very much more athletic team compared to Navy. Clinton Flowers, if you haven't seen this guy play, their quarterback, it's like he's unbelievable. The guy is so quick. When they played UConn a couple weeks ago, he's just making guys miss everywhere in the backfield. Granted, it is UConn, but still, UConn should have beaten Navy. We all know about the fiasco on the one-yard line. And if they can beat Navy, I have no doubts that South Florida is going to rebound here with a pretty good performance. And they need to win this game to stay in the conference hunt. And again, my theory, unranked team, giving points to a ranked team. Navy's number 22. South Florida's giving the 6. That's where you got to go on this one. So South Florida minus 6 for game number one.
Game two, I mean, there are so many games I could choose from here. I was going to take Kentucky and Missouri, but that's another game with Rutgers and Illinois that you know, that's like hell. Watching that game in hell on a loop, Kentucky, Missouri, that's just horrible. But, you know, if we were to take it, we'd take Kentucky. All right, so we'll go to the big game. I'm going to, despite the defensive struggles last week, I'll take Utah, getting the 9.5 from Washington. That's just such a tough place to play. And, you know, Washington's played great all year, don't get me wrong, but they really haven't been tested that much. And this game will certainly test to see if they're, like, a real team, like a national championship contending team. They probably will end up winning this game, but I just think this will be a close battle. You know, Utah certainly will play better defensively, you would hope, at home. They're always well coached. So, you know, for all those reasons, just give me the Utes getting the 9.5 at home. So we'll go Utah plus 9.5 in addition to South Florida minus 6 college picks for this week.
Very good. Thanks for the picks, John. And we are going to see how those go. We've got some juice, and I'll tell you why, because it's time for my picks and pick number one. Get ready for this. Game number one, we're taking the Huskies. Oh, my God. And the reason I'm taking this pick is because, you know, just like you guys were seeing, I was appalled at the amount of points that Utah gave up to UCLA. They are not considered a high-scoring team. So I was thinking, geez, if they're giving up points like this to UCLA, what are they going to do when Washington comes to town? I really think that Washington's been on a roll. I mean, Dave mentioned it earlier in the program. I've seen it. I mean, I've seen them completely embarrass Oregon at Autzen Stadium. You just don't see that anymore. Although Oregon's having a bad year, to be fair. But man, this is just a different team. And I just think that Jake Browning and a very talented defense, very talented offense. I mean, you got guys that could make some really ridiculous catches. Definitely got some Husky fever going. It's a bit of a reach to make this pick because it's a lot of points, but I'm going to lay the points anyway. I'm going to go Washington minus 10.5 at Utah, going head-to-head with John in Connecticut. Game number two is tomorrow, and for the love of God, I don't know why I'm doing this, but we're going to go with a homer pick, USC minus 16 against Cal. I've had some struggles picking Cal in games this year, whether it's on the program or off. I can't seem to get them to cover one way or the other, whether it's trying to cover a big spread when they're laying points on the road against Oregon State, or just trying to cover a simple 3-point spread when they're at home trying to play against Oregon, who, you know, is just a hapless team this year. They have to go to double overtime to put away the Oregon Ducks. So I tell you, Cal's defense is, we knew this though going in. We knew this the whole season. They weren't that good, but they are terrible. So for that reason, plus the reason that USC's finally got some momentum going with Sam Darnold at quarterback, it's a better team with Darnold than it was with guy who I forgot already. But at any rate, this is going to be a better matchup, I think, for USC. I think it's not so bad when USC plays Cal. Last year, they played at Cal. They covered that spread, I believe. So they were fine there. I don't know. I mean, this is actually the kind of game that USC usually loses. Forget cover. Loses. Because this is right when they start getting like a couple of games and it looks like, hey, maybe they might win the South Division. Then all of a sudden they lay an egg in a game like this. So I'm certainly aware of that. But I feel like the play is USC anyway, giving the 16. So to recap, an all Pac-12 special from Dave in the City. Washington minus 10.5 at Utah. USC minus 16 at Cal. I would not be surprised if either of these or both of them did not cover, but I do feel pretty good about these plays. So there you are, the picks for week number 9 on the program. So let's now move on to our guest picker, Dave in Queens. I think Ron will have his picks by the time Dave's completed his picks. So Dave, here you are with the picks of the week, 2 college picks. It's all yours.
Yeah, I'm going to go with you, Dave, with Washington. I just can't get out of my mind seeing Utah, just their defense, get dismantled by a backup quarterback. I mean, I don't know who this guy is. Maybe he's some sort of future Hall of Famer, but I doubt it. So, and from what I've seen in Washington, their offense is pretty potent. So I kind of see, you know, Browning having like 4 or 5 touchdowns, 45-20 type game. You know, Washington's trying to look good for the committee. They could play the role that nobody thinks are that good. So, you know, I'm going with the Huskies. And the other game I'm going with is the I'm going to go West Virginia, actually. I'm going to I know I said I don't believe in them earlier in the program, and I still don't, but I believe in them more than anybody else in the conference, I guess. And I've never seen a West Virginia team play any defense, but this team seems to. And for the Big 12 conference, it's sort of like a ping pong arena league type football. So I think it's kind of like a shock to team systems when they play a team that actually plays any lick of defense. So I'm going to go Washington. I'm going West Virginia. Like you say, they were saying before, you know, you don't trust the coach, the guy Holgorsen and stuff. And it's probably not a smart pick, but I don't know. I just think they're going to win this game and handily. So we'll see.
All right. Thanks for the picks, Dave. Good stuff. And good luck to those as we go along. And it should be interesting. Really good luck to all the picks. We have our picks in from Ron in New Jersey from college football. And this is just going to get better, my friends. This gets interesting. You ready for this? It is a triple checker on a checker. He's going to go Washington -10.5. He wrote -10. We'll go 10.5 against Utah in this matchup. So we've covered that one in depth already. Game number two for Ron in New Jersey is Nebraska +9. And I do not know Nebraska. Oh, yeah, that was against Wisconsin. You can probably make an argument for that because Wisconsin is a defensive team. So Nebraska +9, Washington -10.5 for Ron in New Jersey's week 9 college picks as he tries to keep it continue rolling with 2 good weeks in a row. And we will see if he gets the 3rd week in a row of positive action. So those are the picks from Ron in New Jersey for college football. We now segue to the NFL, and what a wild week it was. I mean, it started in the early, early morning here on the West Coast when the Rams, who were not, I don't think they would have scheduled this if they knew they were playing in LA, went over to London to play the Giants in a really, really early game. I don't know if any of you guys saw the whole thing, but certainly when I woke up, it was halftime. So that gives you a picture for how crazy early that was. Went to the sports bar because I was excited about the Vikings game. I was like, all right, the Vikings are going to play the Eagles. I'm excited. I want to see the Vikings, how they respond to this Eagles team. Maybe the Eagles finally have some smoke and mirrors. Sam Bradford played the worst game of the season. He could not hit a pass within 5 yards. Everything was going way right or way left. He was terrible. I mean, that guy was turning the ball over every other play. And the first quarter featured 4 turnovers. It was just a terrible, terrible game. And the Vikings lost going away to the Eagles. So the Eagles get another win, but certainly no one expected it. That was a really disappointing game. But 2 games are going to be the ones we remember from this week. The Chargers-Falcons game, that was a great game. Chargers came back from 17 down, forced OT, won in the OT. Very reverse Charger-like game. But obviously the game we're going to talk for years about is the 6-6 game. A 6-6 tie between the Seahawks and the Cardinals. And that's where we start with the NFL recap. Let's go down the panel. Let's go back to John in Connecticut first to bring us a recap of last week's action in the NFL.
Yeah, I mean, you got to start there, Dave. The Sunday night game was pretty boring there for a while. I mean, once it was 3-0 and the Seahawks, I think they had like under 100 yards of offense until the fourth quarter, and Cardinals really weren't doing much. But then once they got to overtime, I mean, that's when the fun started. I mean, Bruce Arians, I mentioned the other day, he really lost that game for the Cardinals. Even in the first quarter, I mean, he goes for it on fourth down and, you know, not a really great part of the field. And they get stuffed there. The field goal kicker misses a kick earlier in the game, which is kind of a foreshadowing for what was to come later on. And then the craziness in overtime. He gets the ball down to the 1 yard line on a big pass. And then, okay, fine. You want to run it in from there? I get it. All right. You just want to score the touchdown. So they run the play to the outside. Johnson, you think he might have got in. Maybe not. Then they hurry up to the line to run another play so the refs can't review it. They get stuffed. So then he's like, all right, we'll screw it. We'll kick the field goal now. Well, the problem is the ball's placed on the left hash. It's not centered. So the kicker obviously hooks it off the upright, and, you know, Seattle gets another chance. You know, if the ball's been centered in the center of the field, I mean, he's going to make that kick, even with the slight hook. Then, of course, Seattle gets down the field. You think they're going to win the game, and then their kicker just completely hooks it. And then Pete Carroll's reaction is just absolutely priceless. That gif needs to be, like, saved in eternity. But
yep.
Just a crazy, crazy game.
you got to feel the Seahawks, you know, obviously it's a tie. You know, it's kind of going to hurt you and help you, I guess, at the standing at the same time. But the Seahawks really have to feel good about that one. I mean, they were outplayed, just, you know, really outplayed in that game in terms of total yardage and everything. And they just hung around, took advantage of, you know, what they could get. And they get out of there with a tie, still two games ahead of the rest of the teams in their division. So a huge, I guess, tie, what you would call it, for the Seahawks and their prospects going forward. But they really need to fix their offensive line play. They just, you know, they looked awful, honestly. I mean, Russell Wilson, I granted he's a little gimpy, but, you know, they're not going to go anywhere if they don't get that line play fixed. Same thing with the Vikings, and that was their problem on Sunday, and really their problem all year. Their offensive line is not good whatsoever. And you saw it when a team that could actually, you know, take advantage of that to a really large degree, like the Eagles and their great pass rush, the Vikings had no chance. I mean, Bradford was getting pressure on every play and turned into the same Bradford that we've seen before when he gets under pressure. So the Vikings clearly have one of the best defenses in the NFL, but their offense is not built to come from behind, and we'll see what happens the rest of the year. You know, they're certainly going to be one of the contending teams, but that really, their offensive line does scare you as a, you know, kind of a, you know, a Super Bowl contender. I mentioned before, the Saints and Chiefs, that this game will bug me to no end because there's no way the Saints should have covered this game. You know, they just have a horrible defense, and the Chiefs could only muster, what, 3 points in the second half and couldn't put that away. And, of course, the Saints get the backdoor cover. Really my only loser of the week in the NFL, and that really, really bugged me to no end. The Packers did what they had to do on Thursday. We'll see what their new, you know, spread amount of offense works in Atlanta. That should be a fun shootout. You mentioned the Chargers game. You know, you figured the Chargers were done in that game, 27-10, but Gritty and Gutty, and they came back, and Matt Ryan was turned into Matt Ryan and threw a late interception that really proved to be costly. And then Dan Quinn, what is this guy doing in overtime? You have 3rd and 1, okay, and he runs a quarterback sneak that just gets blown up. So that's 4th and 1 on your own 40-yard line in overtime. I get it, your defenses have been great. But there's times to be aggressive, and then there's times to punt the ball away. If you stop there, you lose the game. It's just that made no sense to me. So just a terrible job out of Atlanta and Dan Quinn in that spot. And then how about the Jaguars? If there's a prop on the first NFL head coach fired, if the Jaguars lose tomorrow, I think Gus Bradley might be gone. Once again, the team that's hyped up before the season just completely falls flat on their face. Bortles is completely regressed. That team is just a complete joke. I think we all have the Raiders here, but the Jaguars are just a disaster. Same thing with the 49ers. I don't know if Chip Kelly, he might be at Oregon in mid-December because this is just not working out for him. But
yeah,
kind of my long-winded recap of the week's action.
You know, that Raider game was a triple checker and a checker. It looked like that was for good reason. I mean, they took care. In fact, it's interesting because the Raiders usually were winning games close. That was the first time I really saw them put away a team, so that gives you an idea how woebegone the Jaguars became. Their defense is terrible. And, you know, Andy brought this up. T.J. Yeldon has had a terrible year, and it's a major disappointment because people were expecting him to be a big part of that offense, and he's just not been good. I mean, to be perfectly honest, like, not compared to where the expectations were anyway, so it's a tough spot. Going back to the Atlanta game, if I may, you know, Quinn making the aggressive play to go for it on 4th and their own. What was it, 35 or something like that? That pick a lane. Because last year, John, remember he was like kicking a field goal and there was only 2 minutes left in the game and they were down by like...
Yes. It's like, yes, I do remember that. It was like the San Francisco game. They were down like 4 and he kicks a field goal from like the 1 yard line to get it to like 14-13 or something. Yeah, so it's like he overcompensated for his, you know... no balls last year. Now he's just going caution to the wind, which is sometimes just as stupid.
It is. It's kind of like, I mean, I know you're trying to make up for that, but that's just a little bit out of control. No doubt. So the Falcons are in an interesting spot, and we'll take a look at them as we go along. I mean, they're going to play the Green Bay Packers next, and I don't know where they are right now. I mean, they started off 4-1, and then they lost these two games. I think it's pretty similar to teams of Falcons years past where they start off strong and then they just level off because they're a flawed team. I mean, it really is dependent highly on Julio Jones's production. And if it's not there, then they become pretty vulnerable and their defense is not as good as I imagined originally this year. So we will see. And so you got to give them a lot of credit for beating Denver in that case. But nevertheless, you know, they're not really as good as they looked on that week. So let's go to Andy in Seattle for his recap of recap of the NFL last week.
Yeah, John did a good job there. I guess to fill in some of these blanks here, or the loose ends. Like, yeah, to start the day with the London fiasco between the Rams and the Giants, and to end the day with Seattle, Arizona, the Monday game, I mean, the morning game, that was stale poo, and then Seattle, Arizona ended up being hot poo. Now, the stale poo, that's like it's constipated. I caught the second half of that game because the game started at 6:30 in the morning, and I woke up hungover, and it was a two-minute warning of the first half. And then it was like a punt contest. I ended up actually leaving my house around the fourth quarter to do some errands and stuff, get ready for the morning games. And I swear, I'm driving around, getting the coffee, getting some Gatorade, and I seen them through like two picks. The Giants punted twice, and that's your recap. That's the recap right there. ODB didn't do much. Eli didn't do much. Keenum threw a bunch of picks. The Giants had a lot of punts. The Giants won. The Giants covered. Thank you. London, really? London saw a great show. No, not quite. And then there's another game for London, the Bengals-Redskins. Hopefully that game can be a little more compelling for the British, but who knows. And then that Arizona-Seattle game, that John documented pretty well. I mean, some of my buddies were like, what are your East Coast buddies actually watching this garbage? And actually, some of my East Coast buddies and Yachts himself was like, and they were right, but by the time overtime started, the clown really came out in overtime. And, I mean, geez, Arians, I think the refs definitely review far more, like a lot more replays that we look on the television. Like, why are they wasting their time reviewing this? And they didn't review the Johnson scenario. And John's probably right. Maybe it's because the Cardinals ran a play too quick. But I mean, they review like a lot more like stupid stuff. So for them not to review that, it was just kind of weird. And Michaels and Collinsworth, like, mentioned it, but the game was going so fast, they didn't really have a chance to even revisit it. So good job, Arizona, for bungling that up. And, you know, Seattle, if they can't get their offense in gear this weekend in New Orleans, which I think they will, then they might just be kind of like a smoke and mirrors team because, I mean, their defense is still great, and you would think Russell Wilson will get healthier as the season progresses. Right, he's fucking giving. He's got a flat tire. He can't run, so he's like a drop-back passer right now. He can't even scramble. He can't even pretend to scramble. He tried to scramble once, and Arizona ate him alive, so... The offensive line looks like what it did in the beginning of the year when they played Miami and the Rams, and then like their next three games were against kind of crummy teams. Atlanta's good, but the Jets and the Niners are kind of, you know, so hot. So, you know, they'll beat the teams that they're supposed to beat, and then every now and then they're going to look like, you know, they're going to get exposed with that O-line unless they get it shaped up. What else was going on last week? You know, the Texans are a fucking shit show. The Jaguars are a shit show. And someone's got to win that AFC South. I mean, as bad as the Jaguars are, like, they're only two games out of it, and Tennessee's right in there. And the Colts have, like, 52 players that are absolutely dreadful. Well, 51, Hilton and Luck. That's it. It's Hilton and Luck. And they got no defense, and they got a coach that's, his motto is, so what, now what? Like, that's his coaching philosophy. That's good. Okay. Any of us want that Colts job? I mean, geez, that's just atrocious. Rex Ryan, I was actually psyched. I'm still psyched. It's a Patriots game. But and the Bills beat the Pats once, so it would have been pretty cool to see a Bills-Pats matchup this week if the Bills were 5-2. and they could have been 5-2, and they let Tannehill and that running back that sounds like Joe Adai, but it's not Joe Adai, just run all over them in the second half. And because I swear, I was like, I can't believe Rex and Rob Ryan are going to be on a 5-game winning streak, and they're going to be pounced.
Yeah, with you on that, Andy. It's pretty
laid an egg. And I know LeSean McCoy's had dreadful games in Miami, and he had a bad hamstring. So that was probably a factor, too. And then, yeah, like you mentioned, Dave, triple checker on a checker with the Raiders. Bortles is dreadful. Bradley is dreadful. They might need to figure it out down there. And I'm tired of hearing how good Jacksonville's defense is, how it's like they model it after Seattle, but they don't really have the players that Seattle has, so that's a tough model to position yourself with. And the Vikings game surprised me. Good job out of John for sniffing that. I fell into the trap. The Vikings strike me as a team now. They are well on the way to victory with that strong defense, but if they're behind, they might be one of the worst teams playing from behind just based on their offensive personnel. So it's kind of like a fine line with that team. They're so one-dimensional on defense that once they get behind by like 7 points, it's danger time. And if they're down by 10 points, you can forget about it. And I don't know if that's a good recipe if you want to be a serious contender. And then as a Rodgers fan for fantasy reasons and gambling reasons over the years, it was nice to see him, you know, granted it was against the Bears, it was nice to see him get off the schneid a little bit. Next week, maybe Jordy Nelson will get some points against this Atlanta defense because he's been kind of missing for the entire year.
Yeah, and I think John might have some insight on that, but yeah, definitely Jordy hasn't been Jordy that we've been accustomed to, so we'll see what happens with him the rest of the year. Let's go to Dave in Queens for his NFL recap. Anything you'd like to add, Dave?
You know, pretty much everything's been said. I actually got a kick out of that Arizona-Seattle game just because it was such a shit show that it was kind of entertaining just seeing, like, just ineptness and the two, you know, point-blank field goals being missed and the coach's reaction. It kind of was just like a microcosm of the shit the NFL's been shoveling down our throats with these like primetime games. So it was just kind of, I got a kick out of it. It was just so bad that it was good, if that makes sense. I agree with the Falcons. They're always kind of just frauds. Like Matt Ryan, he's a good quarterback, but he's just good enough to break your heart. He always seems to make the wrong turnover at the wrong time. He force feeding Julio Jones is a bad idea, but he'll throw it into a triple coverage if he has to. Sometimes throws a bad pass. And I think just in general, like the play in the NFL, like there's not that many good teams out there. I mean, you have the Pats, Cowboys look pretty good so far. I like the Vikings, but as you've seen, you know, as has been said, is that, you know, the offensive line is horrible, and if they get down, they can't really come back. So it's just, I don't know who's good. You know, I don't know what teams are consistent. And from a gambling aspect, it's really frustrating in that aspect. But yeah, I just don't know. It just seems like it's like the Pats and everybody else. And, you know, like maybe the Cowboys will continue their ways and maybe the Vikings will still play well, but there's just a lot of mediocrity. Just a lot of teams that you don't know week to week what they're going to do. I mean, you know, Buffalo wins 4 in a row and then they give up almost 300 yards to whatever it was to Jai. You know, Washington won 4 in a row. They lost. Oakland, I know that Oakland has a good record. I saw them by their defense. I think they're kind of, you know, they're good, but they're not great yet. Steelers, people, was a sexy pick for the AFC, and they seem to, you know, they have no defense again. Big Ben's hurt. So just really a lot of uncertainty. I don't, you know, I just don't know. But, you know, it's up in the air. It's up for grabs, except for, like I said, I think the Pats are above everyone else. And after that, it's just, you know, like flip a coin at this point.
Yeah, the NFC is pretty wide open this year. I mean, I thought that the Carolina was going to dictate the pace in that conference. I thought Arizona was going to be a big player. No, not even close. And I realize that, you know, there's a lot of turnover year to year, but we had seen the previous maybe 5 or 6 years some consistent teams among the group of the mediocre. And I know that the Packers were in that on that list, and the Colts, for whatever reason, would manage to get their 10 to 12 wins, even though they're not that good. You would see you'd see the Patriots. We mentioned that already. We would see the Broncos in the on the West, in the AFC West, and that would be your group. Like, you'd have like a bunch of teams. The Steelers were part of that too for a while, and you know, just they're just getting hurt too much. It just Roethlisberger getting hurt just kills them. Like, it's just not the same team. I actually have to give him a lot of credit for hanging in that game with New England early on, but after a while, it was just too much. Like, I mean, you had Gronkowski going off, you had Blunt going off, and you know, at some point Edelman's going to end up going off if he hadn't already had out already. I know Andy was talking about that earlier in the year, so that they really are the team to beat right now. We'll see if that carries over the rest of the season. See, that 4-game suspension wasn't that big a deal, was it? So you know, on we go. So let's get to the picks, everybody, and the games this week. Couple of good ones. We have the San Diego Denver rematch. The Chargers took down Denver in their first meeting at San Diego. This time they're going to play at Mile High. Green Bay at Atlanta, we mentioned that already. And then we have the Eagles playing the Cowboys. And at some point the Eagles are going to have to lose a game like this, because they keep winning these games that nobody expects them to win. Can they lose a game like this, please? I'm just getting sick of this team. I just don't think they're that good for whatever reason. I cannot buy into the Eagles and Carson Wentz. I'm just not into it. So let's get to it. Okay, picks time. Let's go to Andy in Seattle first for the week number eight? Yeah, week number eight NFL picks. Andy, all yours.
All right. Geez. You know, the biggest line this week was Pats Buffalo, and I think that was only like 6.5. So this is a lot of close games from a forecast on paper standpoint, and I don't have any like strong conviction with these games, but we're gonna go anyway because we have to make two. So game number one, we're gonna take Phil Rivers getting 5.5 at Denver. I know they just played each other like 10 days ago. And I saw the Chargers like 3 weeks ago. We were talking about how snake bit they were, and they are. Let's look at the games that they played early on in the year. But for whatever reason, Rivers always seems to just step up his game in Denver. You know, years ago, him and Cutler had that rivalry. And back-to-back weeks now, the Chargers have won 2 games in a row. A crazy comeback last week. I thought their goose was cooked at when I think the score at one point was 27-10 in the first half. And for them to come back the way they did, and their defense, I mean, their defense wasn't great. It wasn't the 85 Bears in the second half. They gave up some yardage, but when they needed to, when Atlanta was flirting in the red zone or getting into field goal range, they made the stops and held them to either 3 or punts. And just the way the Chargers have moved the ball, you know, Melvin Gordon has really taken the medium to big step this year. He's actually scoring touchdowns. Last year he was like really good 20-20, but wasn't getting actually any touchdowns. And this year he's scoring touchdowns, he's running the ball well, and Rivers is basically just dinking and dunking the ball to death with Gordon a lot. And I know Keenan Allen's not on the team, he's hurt, but they're finding ways to move the ball in decent chunks. And you got the ageless wonder Antonio Gates to catch those balls down the middle. Listen, they might not win this game, but 5.5 against a team that, granted, Denver's got great defense, but their offense isn't anything special. I think Denver will sputter just enough in the red zone. And getting 5.5, you know what that means. You got the back door wide open potential in the fourth quarter. So I think the combination of Denver's offense just not being great, but they're going to get red zone field goals where other teams might be able to score 7. They'll keep San Diego hanging around just enough in the fourth quarter where we'll see Phil Rivers hopefully dink and dunk with Melvin Gordon and Antonio Gates. And you just pray that you don't see anything, you know, historically San Diego-ish, like a fumble or a crazy interception, knock on wood. So give me San Diego getting 5.5 at Denver for game number one. Game number two, if there's a textbook definition of a trap, this might be it. That's Kansas City giving 2.5 at Indianapolis. I mean, watch the Colts win, but I'm taking the Chiefs. I'm just so down on Pagano. I'm so down on the entire team. Their offensive line is a freaking sieve. And Tennessee didn't even take advantage of that. I mean, I don't watch a lot of the Colt games, but when I do, I see Andrew Luck running for his life. But I don't think Tennessee was able to, like, get any pass rush on Andrew Luck, whereas the other teams have. The Chiefs' defense is pretty good. Granted, this is a trap game, like I said. You got to always be worried about Andy Reid on the road. For all the accolades he gets with his genius performance after a bye, he still gets made fun of for, you know, laying eggs here and there, postseason experiences, clock management. And now, you know, you're also betting on Alex Smith, which that's all you need to know. But listen, this is just an anti-Colts pick. If you're Kansas City and you're going to be, you know, labeled as a contender in the AFC West, maybe one of the best divisions in the league so far, you need to be able to take care of business against an atrocious Colts team. So give me Kansas City giving 2.5 for game number 2 to match up with San Diego getting 5.5 for game number 1. Two road teams in week 9?
I think in the NFL it's week 8. Yeah, week 8.
Okay, week 8.
All right, thanks very much for the pick, Sandy. You know, CJ Anderson is doubtful to start in that Denver game, so more incentive to take the Chargers in that one. So he's a big part of – I thought that he was a pretty important part of their offense last week when they played against Houston, and he's been pretty good for them this year. So if he's not playing, they'll go to Booker and they'll go to that other guy. An already limited offense has become more limited, you know what I mean? All right, so let's go to Ron in New Jersey's picks for Week 8 in the NFL. Let us get to it. So here's what he has on the table. He starts with the Jets. A little room for forgiveness. Jets had a good win last week against the Baltimore. Well, it's a win. I don't know if it's a good win, but it's a win. The Jets had... it's a win. Any win is good in the NFL. I'm not going to discount the Jets because they won against Baltimore. So we'll go Jets minus 2.5 at the Browns for Ron in New Jersey's first pick. Game number 2. He will go checker on a checker with Andy and select the Chargers plus 5.5 at the Broncos for all the reasons that Andy stated. So once again, Jets minus 2.5, Chargers plus 5.5, Ron in New Jersey's week 8 NFL picks. Very good. So now let's go to John in Connecticut as we prep ourselves for another round of picks. Okay, John, it's all yours for week 8 NFL picks whenever you're ready.
Yeah, Andy said it. I mean, the biggest spread here is 6 points. So the witching hour is going to be quite interesting, I feel, this Sunday. And hopefully we're on the right side of these games. And we'll start here in Carolina. And we'll take the Panthers, giving the 3 points against the Cardinals. You know, there's got to be some point in time here where the Panthers play a game up to their potential from the 2015 season where they, you know, ran roughshod to the league, 15-1, make the Super Bowl. You know, pretty much everyone was picking them to win. And, you know, obviously ever since then, it's just been a disaster. Their defense, especially their secondary, has not recovered from losing Josh Norman. Cam Newton's been hurt. It's just been a mess. However, I think that there's a point in time here where they're going to get back to some type of that form. I think this is a good spot to do it. Coming off a bye, playing the Cardinals, again, traveling across countries. The Cardinals have not been good in these scenarios coming east. The Buffalo game earlier this year, they did not show up. I remember a game against the Steelers last year where they were playing Landry Jones, and they did not show up in that game. They had that long overtime game. I mean, they got to be physically beat up from playing that game. You got a fresh Panthers team coming off a bye. I think this is a good stop for Carolina to kind of get back on track. So we'll take the Panthers here, -3 for game number 1. Game 2, I hate to do this to Andy, but I'm going to go head-to-head with him on this. This is the kind of game that Andy Reid loses, and I completely agree with Andy about the Colts just as an outlook for a team. I mean, they are not a good team. However, they're kind of the best of garbage, I guess, in that division. They'll probably end up winning it with like an 8-8 or 9-7 record, but
this is the kind of game that Andy Reid and the Chiefs lose, where they go on the road and they play a team that has some semblance of an offense, and they just can't keep up with their, you know, Pop Gun Alex Smith throwing short passes all day, while the Colts are throwing, you know, bombs to T.Y. Hilton and, you know, scoring all sorts of points. Now, again, the offensive line for the Colts is a huge issue, but I just don't trust the Chiefs on the road in a game like this. The Colts did kind of get things, I guess, a little back on track against the Titans last week, but, you know, I just don't like the Chiefs as a road favorite in this game, and we'll take the Colts getting the 2.5 for the outright upset. So Colts +2.5 in addition to Panthers -3, the Week 8 NFL pick.
Okay, John, thank you very much for the picks, and good luck to them as we enter Week 8 of the NFL. Yeah, we got some common games this week, just like last week. I mean, we really had the common games going in the NFL and in college. And I see we're going to have the same thing this week, too, so far. So it's very interesting to see these games. You guys have hit it on the nose. I mean, it was really tough for me to pick any games, too. Like, they're all like 3-2-1. There may have been a pick 'em in there. I mean, like, there are no big point spreads at all this week for the NFL. So let's give it a try anyhow, as we have had a little bit more success with the... NFL picks in the last couple weeks. That is speaking of myself. So let's get into it in Week 8. Game number one, we look towards the Raiders, who have had a very good year on the road. If you can believe this, fellas, the Raiders are undefeated on the road. They have won 4 games of their 4 road games so far. So they're 4-0 on the road so far. And they go from their good win in Jacksonville and mosey up the coast to Tampa Bay, where they're going to play the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. But here's the problem I have with this. Number one, 4 wins in a row is really good for the Raiders. I mean, they used to not win any games on the road, so tremendous job out of them. But that also means they're due to lose. There are 2 reasons for this. Number one, their defense is not good. There's no way around it. Their defense stinks. I mean, most of the time, other than the game that they had against Jacksonville, teams would have their way with them in the running game, and they could really just let loose with giant plays downfield from the passing game. I mean, Atlanta did that to them. San Diego did that to them. Pretty much anybody can do it to them. Jameis Winston has his ups and has his downs. The Buccaneers are 3-3. They're coming off a bye week. I think that this team will be ready to go as long as they be aggressive in their passing game. They should be fine to at least keep pace with the Raiders. If it's close late, I would take it on the home team to win it. So the Bucs giving only 1 point against said Oakland Raiders. I'm going to go with the Bucs. So Bucs -1 is my first pick for week number 8. Game number 2. I'm going to stay with a team that I've felt pretty good about all year. And it all goes back to the changing quarterback when Tony Romo went down. The Dallas Cowboys. And Dak Prescott just having a solid year. It's a very good team. I really feel like they have a pretty, you know, above average performance in every facet of the game. Offense, defense, special teams. They really haven't had a truly bad game this year. I mean, maybe they had a game where they lost the game. I mean, sure, they lost a couple of games, but overall they're doing pretty well, and especially the last 3 weeks. I mean, they beat the Packers at Green Bay. They practically shut down the Bengals for half the game. And now they're going to go and face the Eagles, who I still think are overrated. It's a divisional game, so you never truly know these matchups, but I do think that people are a little bit too high on the Eagles after beating Minnesota last week. So for that reason, I'm going to go Cowboys laying the points. Cowboys giving 4.5 against the Eagles. So let's recap it. Bucks -1 against the Raiders on the road. Cowboys at home. Oh, no. Bucks at home against the Raiders, excuse me. And the Cowboys also at home, giving 4.5 against the Eagles. My picks for week number 8. So there you go. So I wonder if anyone else is going to take that Cowboy game. Well, we'll give it to Dave in Queens. Hi, O, really. Haven't heard from you in a little bit. So let's get your picks when you're ready.
Yeah, I'm ready. I'm going to go with the Chiefs, too. I just think that, I mean, we know what the Chiefs are at this point. They got the king of the check down with Alex Smith. He's not going to make a mistake.
Yeah.
But on 3rd and 19, I'll throw the ball fucking 5 yards. So, you know, but...
Yeah, pretty much.
And we know they're going to win 9 or 10 games, probably beat the shitty AFC South team in a wild card game, and then get killed by a good team in the next round. But they're solid in the regular season, and the Colts are, as Andy said, you know, they have Luck and Hilton and garbage. So I think the Chiefs are just going to, you know, run it down after Oates scored and, you know, have a decent defense. So I think the Chiefs are going to cover. And then I'm going to take the Pats. As I said earlier, not a lot of mediocrity in the NFL, not a lot of teams you can trust. They seem to be the one team that's consistent. The Bills are anything but, you know, the Rex Ryan, who's up and down. The team's up and down. You know, they're going to win 7-8 games, maybe 9 the most. I think the Pats are probably the best team in the league right now. I think they can handle them. And I hope so anyway. And, you know, they have the revenge factor from the first game where they didn't have Brady. So I think they'll take care of business and cover. So I'm going with the Pats, -6, and Kansas City, -2.5.
All right. So we have a checker and a checker in effect. Thanks for the picks, Dave, and we'll see where those picks end up. So good luck to those. So just to give it a quick overview, we do have a lot of common games this week, and I will update you also on the World Series. The Cubs are winners in game number 2. That means we go to Chicago for game 3, tied 1-1 in the series. So we will see if there's some juice to be had yet. Final score is 5-1. Good news for yours truly, because you got picked the under in that game, but that's not important. Let's get to final thoughts for football this week, and we will begin once again with Andy in Seattle. Andy, your final takeaways for the football coming up?
Nothing much, really. You know, now we're getting to basically the halfway point of the year. Actually, I wrote them all down. It doesn't really matter, but you know how everyone's trying to find reasons why no one's watching the games and the play is so shitty? I mean, I don't really know what the theory is, but I think a lot of it is there's just a ton of mediocre quarterbacks in the league. I just actually wrote them all down and gave a self-grade of, like, you know, 1 through 5, 5 being an A, and 0. Actually, there's a couple zeros, you know, get an F. And the average came out to, like, a C. So,
wow.
You know, that's a factor. I mean, I'm trying to look at the A. You know, Brady, I gave Brady an A. I gave Andrew Luck an A. When Tyrod Taylor's getting the B this year, you know, something's wrong. You know, Skate Stafford a B+, Rodgers a B-. Roethlisberger was a B before he got hurt. Prescott was a B. David Carr was a B. Alex Smith was a B. I gave Phil Rivers an A just for this year. And then just a whole bunch of Cs. You know, Eli's getting a C. Cam Newton's a C. Palmer's a C. Keenum's a C. You know, so just all these lousy to mediocre quarterbacks that can't really elevate their performance when you want them to in a fourth quarter to make these games exciting. And then part of it, I think, is some of these head coaches, they lack experience, or they've just been like coordinators their whole careers, and they're young, and they just kind of get Caldwell under pressure. Like Dave said, in the college game, when you have these young, inexperienced players on the road, it affects their play. I think conversely, in the NFL, you've got these coaches that just either they overthink or underthink, and it just leads to just terrible play sequences in the pro game. That's all I got.
All right, very good. Let's go to John in Connecticut. Final thoughts. Oh, did John drop off? He may have. Okay, well, thanks very much for joining us this week, John. I'm sorry we couldn't have you for that final segment. But
Dave?
Oh, are you there?
You got me now?
Yeah, I do.
I'm here. Sorry. I was just going to expand on Andy's point that you have all those mediocre quarterbacks, and then we get to watch them in primetime games. I mean, pretty much all the primetime windows have been horrible this year. I mean, I get it. You don't want to have a diversity of the teams, but you're going to see all the teams, and the quarterbacks are not very good. I mean, you're going to get to see Brock Osweiler in primetime. It's just not very pretty. So I think, you know, I guess the election would have something to do with it, too. People are maybe focused on that. I don't know. But, hey, it doesn't matter who they throw out there. Like, the NFL is still king. I mean, so what if the ratings are down, you know, 10%? The Goodell makes $100 million this year instead of, you know, $150 million. I mean, boo-hoo for him. I mean, come on.
Yeah.
So we're all going to watch the games and enjoy all the various scenarios. So it is what it is. I'm not going to bother myself with these NFL flipping ratings. I mean, it makes for more interesting talk anyway when there's kind of a lot of clown car situations. But should be another good weekend of games anyway.
Yeah, I think this week we have some good games, and that's the good news. We have some solid matchups, so we'll see how that goes. We'll see if they live up to the hype. I think they will. So let's go to Dave and Queens for final thoughts.
Yeah, pretty much agree with what everybody said. I think hopefully the play picks up. I think, as Andy said, a lot of quarterbacks are pretty bad. I think there's too many penalties now. Like, they throw a flag on everything. There seems to be a lot of offensive holding calls. Just seems like it's like flag, injury, timeout, commercial, but, you know, just no flow to the game. You know, hopefully that'll get better. And teams don't practice as much anymore, so maybe teams are still rusty. So hopefully, you know, the second half of the season, hopefully we get a better product and you know, just see some teams step up. Because right now, like I said, besides the Pats and Cowboys too, to be fair, there's been real no consistency. So just looking to see what team, you know, picks it up, you know, hopefully and, you know, becomes a contender. We'll see what happens.
Yeah, absolutely. And I'm actually very disappointed that they cut back the practice time. I realize that they're trying to cut down on injuries, but is it really working? I mean, you see guys get hurt all the time in these games anyway. It seems like maybe we should just restore at least some of that practice time. I'm not sure if you guys agree or disagree with that, but, you know, it definitely is translating on the field, the lack of practice. I mean, it's just like anything. Look, you're not going to be as good at cooking if you don't practice enough. You're not going to be as good at piano if you don't practice enough. I mean, more practice usually equals better results. So reducing the amount of practice, I mean, it's just common sense. I feel like that's affecting negatively the play on the field. So that was it for me. All right, guys. Well, that's the program. Enjoy your weekend and hopefully some good football in effect. Good luck to the picks again. And thanks, Dave, for coming on. That's really good to catch up with you. Let's do it again sometime.
I will.
All right.
All you guys again.
Good stuff. All right, guys. Take it easy. Have a good weekend.
All right.
Good luck, everyone. Peace.
All right, fellas. Bye. That's our program tonight. Thanks again to everybody who joined us. Andy in Seattle, John in Connecticut, Dave in Queens, and me, Dave Medina. Ron in New Jersey sends his best from back over in Red Bank. We want to wish you a great weekend, everyone. Enjoy the rest of the World Series, and maybe we'll be back next week. Maybe we won't. That's the thing. If there is a clinching game in effect, meaning if this series extends to 6 or 7, we'll skip next week. Otherwise, we'll be here. So we'll see you then. We'll see you next time.